So we were just doing a symposium at the SGO 50th annual meeting. Katie participated. And right now, standard of care, one of the things that we went over in the SGO meeting, a woman walks through the door into your clinic with ovarian cancer. She needs to be tested. So Katie, this now is a part of the newly diagnosed, and you're going to talk about why. But again, can you talk a little about your vision of the genomic profile of ovarian cancer, say, compared to these other three?
Yeah, so in ovary cancer, not dissimilar to breast, I think historically we treated it as a rare tumor, so we lumped everything together as ovary cancer and treated it all the same. Now we're sort of creating these even more rare tumors as we understand the molecular pathogenesis of our cancers a little bit better. So we group high-grade serous and high-grade endometrioid together. And if you look at that group of patients, which is the most common histologic subtype for epithelial ovarian cancer, you find germline BRCA1 and 2 mutations about 18% of the time. It can vary based on geography and sort of population differences in different parts of the globe, but roughly in the United States, 17 to 18%. Germline, if you test the tumor, you'll find an additional 7%. And so roughly 25-ish percent will have a BRCA1 or 2 mutation. And then an additional 25% will have either a mutation in another important gene in the DNA damage response pathway, and some of them have already been listed. Important for us is RAD51C, which does appear to be predictive for response to PARP inhibitors, but there are others, BRCA1, maybe PALB2, et cetera. And then you'll find some epigenetic changes to the promoter region of BRCA that also impact response to PARP inhibitors and response to platinum agents. So we really quote about 50% of high-grade serous, high-grade endometrioid patients are DNA damage response deficient in some way or the other and potential candidates for DNA damage targeting agents such as PARP inhibitors and others.
So just again, to get some basic stuff out there on the table, Emmanuel, you know, we talked about the tumors in terms of, you know, what's inside the tumors. But what about the issue of penetrance in terms of developing the cancer in the first place? Based on kind of what you're saying, it sounds like prostate cancer as it presents is, you know, relatively BRCA-ish or DRD-ish type disease. Yet my vision is that people with BRCA germline mutations don't have as many breast cancers. Is that correct or not? You know, lifetime risk of breast cancer, or is that more a function of other sort of clinical variables?
Right. So the word penetrance is a term that the geneticists use to mean if you inherit an abnormal copy of a gene, what's the chance that you will get the clinical phenotype associated with that disorder? And in this case, the clinical phenotype is a risk of developing a cancer. And so most of the data comes from BRCA2, and I'm primarily a prostate cancer specialist, not a breast and ovarian cancer specialist, but my reading of the literature seems to suggest that if you have a BRCA2 mutation and you're a man, your chance of developing prostate cancer is lower than if you're a BRCA2 carrier and you're a woman, where your chance of developing breast or ovarian cancer is much higher in relative terms.